Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Quran Weekly, this is Abdul Nasser. I'm here with Imam Umar Suleiman. Alhamdulillah, we were able to get together here this weekend in Atlanta for a conference. And it's actually the first time that I'm meeting him since we met in Hajj. Post-Hajj, after Hajj, alhamdulillah, we were able to get together in the blessed city of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Madinatul Munawwara. And we got to share a lot of thoughts and reflections and experiences.
And drink sugar cane juice.
Yes, and drink lots of sugar cane juice. So we had a good time, alhamdulillah. And, you know, one of the things that we just came up in natural, just conversation, just sitting together, and there were other brothers there who had also just finished their Hajj. We were sharing reflections and thoughts after completing this great noble act of ibadah, of worship, one of the fara'id, one of the obligatory acts within Islam, one of the five pillars, which is Hajj, visiting the house of Allah. So, alhamdulillah, we thought since we were able to get together here and we were just reflecting and we were remembering, alhamdulillah, that great experience of Hajj. And, you know, alhamdulillah, you guys have seen myself, you've seen him in other videos before. I have to say that my Hajj haircut looks a lot better than his Hajj haircut.
It's not happening.
Enough said.
I've
so,
got hat hair, guys.
So, but no, alhamdulillah. So we thought we'd record a quick little video and just share some of those same thoughts and some of those same little conversations, inshallah, with you guys.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So I think that, you know, one of the main things that obviously, you know, alhamdulillah, this was my third time going on Hajj, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. And every time it seems like the American hujjaj get more and more whiny and more annoying. And quite frankly, you know, I think I'm going with the Canadians next year because they seem to be a lot better. But subhanAllah, it's like every year Hajj gets easier. And I'm not playing with you. I mean, we're not living in the days anymore where, you know, you're going to be walking in the hot sun and your feet are going to be burning and stuff like that. We're living in the days of five-star hotels right next to the haram, of VIP air-conditioned tents, of trains, like the air train that takes you from, you know, Muzdalifah, Arafah, Mina. So it makes
really
sense.
Caught me off guard was the abundance of food, buffets. It's ridiculous.
And even with that, by the way, so just to show you the extent that American hajjaj complain about, so in our tents, we had catering from Funduk al-Shuhada, from Shuhada Hotel. We had like over 20 items in Mina, right? Three times a day. The food was sickening. And there were two people that were fighting and arguing and yelling, and I hope you're watching this video because I'm talking about you, that were fighting about, you know, and arguing with the organizers that the food wasn't labeled, so we don't know what we're eating, right? So it gets to that extent in terms of complaining.
That's
right? And essentially, you know, here's what I struggled with, and I think this is what we're reflecting on. Is the problem really that we're too spoiled, that we've gotten too used to a spoiled lifestyle? Is that really what stops us from really benefiting from Hajj, or is it something else? And you know, I reflected on the story of Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Of course, Ka'b ibn Malik, it's a long hadith which talks about his redemption.
Yes.
You know, and subhanAllah, what people don't understand is Ka'b ibn Malik was actually from the rich, the aghniya of al-Madinah. He was from the richest of al-Madinah.
He was socially very elite. He was a
socially
poet.
Socially very elite. He was a poet. He was rich. You know, some of the scholars, they said he was one of the five sponsors of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he came to Medina. And when Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala anhu had that chance to be forgiven, if you want to know the whole story, you got to go read it.
Yeah.
When Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala anhu had the chance to be forgiven, when he heard the news from the people coming to him, he took off. He was so happy that he gave his thobe away to the one that was coming to give him the good news. And he realized what? That he didn't have any other thobe. So he had to borrow another thobe. And when he went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, "Abshir ya Ka'ab bi khayri yawmin marra alayk mudda waladatka ummuk." Subhanallah, beautiful, beautiful saying from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the best day of your life, Ka'ab, since your mother gave birth to you. Not your wedding day, not the day that you got rich. It's the day that Allah forgave you. The day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave your sins. The day you had a chance at redemption. You know, a whole new beginning. And even then, Ka'ab ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu wanted to give away everything else he had left. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you know, amsik alayk ba'd al-mas, keep some of the money with you. He said, fine, I'll just keep the spoils of Khaybar and I'll give everything else away. Right? Because once you realize that Allah is giving me a chance to be forgiven for a few days of a little bit of struggle, a late bus here or there, a little bit of walking here and there, a little bit of heat here and there. Waiting in line for a bathroom. You know, at least we have a bathroom over there. You know, some people are just happy to be there because it's a chance at redemption.
Absolutely.
Chance to be forgiven. And essentially when you go there with that mentality, and I'm warning you, Don't allow yourself to complain. Don't allow yourself to jeopardize that chance of redemption, because you might not ever make it back there again, and it might be your one chance, your one shot to be there at the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, the doors of forgiveness are always open. But this is Hajj. Do you really want to spoil your Hajj over, you know, a late bus, over trying to prove your point to a guy that pushed you here or there, or to a guard that you didn't like his attitude? If you truly understood the value of redemption, that Allah is willing to forgive me, subhanAllah, 80, 90 years of sins in 3 days. Allah is willing to let go of all of that and not hold me accountable for any of that. So just remember, when you go there, inshaAllah ta'ala, this is my chance at redemption. I'm not going to screw it up, and no money matters to me anymore. You know, if the Hajj agency screwed me over, I'll talk to them after Hajj. I'm not going to complain about it right now. I'll talk to them after Hajj. If I've got to sleep in the street, alhamdulillah, I'm there. I'm in Hajj. That's all that matters at that point.
It really is an amazing opportunity, amazing chance. And I think part of what we take for granted, one of my observations at Hajj that we talked about was, I noticed that the vast majority of younger people that were there for Hajj, like folks our age, 20s and 30s, were mostly from Western countries. And, you know, and I kind of, again, that goes to show you how much we take for granted these opportunities that we have, that we have affluence. You know, when we want to save up and go for Hajj, I'm not saying it's that easy for everyone. For some people, they actually have to work a lifetime, even in Western countries. But typically, if you want to go for Hajj, let's work a little bit harder for a couple of years. Let's save up some cash. Let's work some overtime. And you can scrounge up enough money together to be able to go for Hajj. And so I'm sitting there looking at 50, 60, 70-year-olds. I met a group from China. There was like 40, 50 people in the group. Every single person in that group was over the age of like 60.
Wow.
And then initially I'm looking at them and realizing Hajj, you know, mashallah, it's become so easy and comfortable. But at the same time, as the numbers of people increase, it still adds a degree of difficulty. Hajj, you know, the way I was summarizing for people, Hajj is Hajj. And it always is going to be Hajj. So you can't really remove completely all the difficulties. So I'm sitting there thinking, like, why
would
these...
That's a mercy.
Yeah, that is.
That's
a cleansing opportunity.
No matter how much money you pay, no matter what package, VIP, deluxe, 20 grand you pay, you're still going
to
have a difficulty. Unless they start bringing the cabbage, like your lobby or
something.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. That's the opportunity to be able to make some sacrifice, to cleanse yourself, to purify yourself. So I'm actually, when I first got there, I'm looking at these people, I'm saying, why would somebody come and do Hajj when they're 60 and, you know, it's so difficult for them and they're old and they can barely walk and somebody's got a cane and somebody's in a wheelchair? And then it hit me, and I spoke to some of these people as well. I ended up realizing that, well, it took them this long in their life to be able to save up enough money to be able to do
it. Or to be able to be allowed by their country.
By their government.
Right, by the government.
And that's when it hit me like a ton of bricks. I was like, wow. Like somebody in their, you know, like a young person, you know, like you were saying, this was your third Hajj. A young person from America can, by the time they're 30, could have done Hajj 2, 3, 4, 5 times. And the fact that this person had to wait till they were 60 years old to do Hajj. Like, what an amazing blessing. And that's why they seize that opportunity. And they love it. And they don't complain. And they embrace the opportunity. So it's... And then as kind of like a couple of final thoughts for myself, and you can, inshallah, wrap up for us, was one other thing I realized. You know, when everybody goes for Hajj, not to say that people need to know the fiqh of Hajj. They still need to know the fiqh, the technicalities of Hajj. But at the same time, one thing I realized out there at Hajj was... pretty much most people are pretty in the zone because of the amount of money they're investing and the amount of time that they're spending. They read a book, they take some notes. There's usually a sheikh with most groups these days. They have a general idea of the fiqh, and the fiqh isn't overly complex or complicated. You just kind of go with the flow. You roll with your group and you're good.
But from the sheikh, not from those guys from all over the world.
Yes.
Just doing their thing.
Yeah, exactly. But and at the same time, though, what I realized was hajis don't need a lot more fiqh. They just need a lot more common sense. I noticed a serious lack of common sense there. And one thing I told about, I was sharing even with my own students some reflections that, you know, typically when we do ibadah, we're trying to get to know Allah, we're trying to come closer to Allah. And Hajj, you get to know yourself. And, you can't fake Hajj. You can't fake it at Hajj. If you're impatient, you're going to become impatient. If you have an issue with anger, you're going to lose your cool at Hajj.
Be exposed.
Exactly. You get exposed. So when we're wearing the ihram, not only are we like physically and just, you know, roughing the elements and exposing ourselves physically to the elements, we also become exposed spiritually as well. And so we need a lot more common sense, we need a lot more patience, we need a lot more intelligence when performing Hajj, and I think we could start to overcome some of the challenges that we find at Hajj. And then the last thought or reflection I had was, after everything you see at Hajj, and everything everyone goes through, spending the thousands of dollars, leaving their, you know, I know you left your family here, you know, my wife also wanted to perform Hajj, I also wanted her to perform Hajj, and we have two daughters, two little babies, and so we actually left them with their grandparents, and it was excruciating, it was painful for me, but it was just absolutely excruciating for my wife, and so... And then the physical sacrifices people make and all the difficulty everybody endures. There's one reason why everybody's doing all of this. There's only one reason. It's a one-word reason. And that's Allah.
Allah.
It's that simple. People spend thousands of dollars. Allah. People are willing to leave their kids and their families at home. Why? Because of Allah. People are willing to sleep out in sand and in trash in the middle of the desert. Allah. The sole reason why everybody does everything that they do there is for Allah. And that's the goal, that's the focus.
And I would just end with, you know, just remember when you go to Hajj, make sure that you understand that you are one of the very few that have been chosen amongst one point whatever billion.
Yeah.
You know, these 3 million people, Allah chose them to come. Mm. And you are a guest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
And as a guest, you should forfeit all of your rights at that point. You should understand that you're not the host. So don't go there as a guy who paid for this, and I paid for this, and I paid for that. Allah invited you there, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will decree whatever you get there and what happens with you at that point, whatever difficulties you will go through. And as a guest who is honored to just be there, you know, if you were to go into the White House, you know, you're not going to sit there and complain to yourself, I paid $20 for this ticket to tour this place or something like that, or I paid this much money. No, I'm just happy to be here. When am I going to get to meet the president? You're there because Allah called you there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala invited you there as a guest. You forfeit your rights and you go with the flow and just hope that it's accepted. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our Hajj.
Ameen.
And a big shout out, by the way, to Ahmed Billu, Muhammad Manar, Jawad, Abdul Hasib, anyone
Absolutely.
That I'm missing?
There's one of my guys, Zubair, is over there as well.
Zubair, Tariq Muslih, all of the students from Medina. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, bless you, inshallah ta'ala, and keep you firm on the path of knowledge,
absolutely.
Inshallah.
Very hospitable, very nice, mashallah. They, it was really pleasant and really nice seeing them after.
Awesome sugarcane juice. Jazakumullah khair.
Assalamu
alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alhamdulillah. You know, before we actually get.
Bro. That should be the outtakes.